Lord, I am so grateful, God. I am so thankful that A1, you, Father, are in control, God. It is your word. It is what you want to say. It's what you want to do with your people, God. It's how you want to meet us, God. It's how you want to transform our lives, God. It is by your hand and your hand alone, God. And I am grateful, Father, that you are in the midst of your people, God, and you are doing the work, Father. Lord, I also, God, am grateful that you confirm your word, God, that you have done that already, Father. So I am grateful, Father, for what you are here to say to your people, God. I pray that it has the impact that it is to have, God, that the seed finds fertile soil and it produces fruit in each and everyone's life, God, as we submit and surrender to what it is you are saying, Father. Have your way today in our lives, in Jesus' name, and all God's people say. Amen, amen. All right, here we go. So we talked last Sunday about testimony, right? And we talked about testimony, and one of the things that God told me about testimony and that humility that's in our testimony, being humble, right, is putting one down, right? Putting ourselves down. It's not us. It's not our will. It's not what I've done. It's what's God's. It's what God has done, right? Okay, and that's your testimony. So I was praying about this, and one of the things God showed me is that we need some more help. I don't know how other word to say than help, because we agree with that, right? We agree with our testimony. We agree with God's will in our lives, and that builds our testimony, right? But we need help in the response department, because we tend to agree with all of that, but we do very little about that. Do we agree? Like, how many people can say last week was a good sermon? Okay? Past tense. How many people can say anything that they remember about it other than what I just told you? Good call. Okay. Right. And how many, then from those hands that can remember and recall it, how many people actually did something with it? Good. That's okay. Okay. But this is what I mean. And in your case, that person came to you. Okay. So just pointing it out. All right. So I just want to make sure you guys get what he's saying, because this is important. If we're going to be, and this is where that confirmation comes, because Holly comes in here, Spirit of God's already here, and he's communing with us, and she has this song in her heart, and she's just singing about the body and the head. And I'm just like, thank you, Lord, because you just confirmed everything that you wrote here. We have to recognize what God is doing. And so the first part of that step is doing this little test. Where does power come from? Power comes from? No, not that power. Comes from the source. The source is God, right? It's an easy question. This wasn't a hard question, right? Since we understand that power comes from God, can we then, knowing God is God, God, and I just gave you an illustration of the infinite to the exponent of infinite, unlimited power that exists within God, then therefore I must be able to just go and use this power whenever I feel like it, correct? You would think, but I mean, it's not like he's being stingy with his power. Oh, this will thing you guys are talking about. Submission to his will, right? The last question then is, what is the purpose of the power that God bestows upon his church? I hear people talking, but I can't hear what they're saying because they're somewhere different. They're in a different place in the building and I can't hear what they're saying. Okay. And where'd you get that from? Okay. Good. He reads his Bible. That's good. Expanding the kingdom, right? It's a generalized term. It's a church term, right? Because you can't go out there and tell people outside that, oh, by the way, God gave me power to expand his kingdom. They're not going to understand what you're talking about. They're going to think you're going to build a wall. And then they're going to probably call you a MAGA Republican and tell you one of your Trump supporters or whatever and yell at you about it. Because that's what they think kingdoms are, right? Because they only have a cinematography version of a kingdom. They only know castles and walls and Game of Thrones and all that junk. Those are kingdoms, right? They don't know what God's kingdom is. They don't understand the principle of God's kingdom. They don't understand God. They like to make up their own ideas of what this looks like. But we have biblical response and biblical example of what God says. If you read Ephesians and you read Acts, which we will, you'll see some examples of God's kingdom in work. And it is not, and I love this because I heard this before, God's kingdom is not a physical kingdom. Can somebody agree with that? Or will you say that is incorrect? God's kingdom is physical. God's kingdom is spiritual and physical. God's kingdom is now and coming. Right? Jesus came and he preached the coming kingdom. The kingdom of God is here and the kingdom of God is now. But if you don't understand what it looks like and you don't understand how it's physical and you don't understand how it's spiritual and you don't understand the thing that God is doing and you're a part in the kingdom, because after all, the kingdom is not a fortress of walls and a building. The kingdom is it's the whole region. Okay? Kingdoms are not just one spot. Kingdoms are the realm that the king controls. So ask yourself this question. If God is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, what is his kingdom? Bing, because he created it all. You're meaning to tell me that God's kingdom is on Mars. I am telling you God's kingdom is on Mars. How can I say that? Did he create Mars? Yes, he did. If there are little green folk on Mars, guess what? Those are his people, because they belong to his kingdom. They're in his realm. Any questions? Now, does God get to choose and do whatever he wants to do with his people in his kingdom? Yes, he does, because he is king. He is sovereign. This is what I mean by we have this misunderstanding of the kingdom and where it is and our involvement. But back to power. If we understand the kingdom principle, then we should also understand that the power principle in line with the kingdom. God's power will extend to his kingdom. And all those who are going to respond to the will of the king. You cannot do anything in the kingdom that is not by God, because God is the authority of all things in his kingdom. Yes? So if you do something that is not in the will of God and you're in his kingdom, what are you doing? You're violating the law of the kingdom, because you're doing something independent of the king. That would be called treason or rebellion. God handles rebellious people quite well. Don't we know this historically through the Bible? Yes? Right? He's handled his rebellious people for a very long time. He's still dealing with a rebellious people. Amen? So then we get to this other part. And I know you're like, where is he going? Where is he going? Calm down. I got 3 hours. What this now boils down to is the concept or the principle of the power of God wanting to go and do what it's supposed to do. Do we believe that God's power is meant to be used? Do we believe that God has given his power to his church to accomplish his will? Okay, so we're in agreement on all those concepts, right? Here's the next catch. Where is the power of God at today? It's just here. It's just here. And don't get me wrong, I love it. It's great. I love when God shows up. Don't you guys love when God shows up? Manifesting some miracles, getting some people set free, healings, amen. All that stuff's really cool. It's awesome. Nothing wrong with that. I'm down for that. I want more of God. I want more of that. I want so much more of it that we can't contain it. Why? Because if I can't contain it here, guess where it's going to go? But I don't need to actually have that mentality, right? The mentality shouldn't be, God, I just want so much of you to fill up this place that we can't contain it till it just seeps out of the building, right? I should be sitting here going, no, I'm just giving everybody to-go cups. Right? Think about it. If I give you a to-go cup of God's power, get out there and go share. Because here's where we get it wrong. This is where we have done it wrong for many, 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 many generations. And I'm not fabricating those manys. That's probably legit if you count them. Power that God has bestowed upon the church, his body, is meant to meet those who have faith. And if you are waiting for the faith of those to come and meet you, you are going about this the wrong way. Because God did not say in his great commission to his church to stay. He said to do what? Go. Get out. Take your to-go cup of power and go and meet those who have faith, maybe only this much, but are really believing God's going to do something in their life. And they're waiting for you, the church, filled with power, dunamis power, to meet their faith where they are so that they can see the presence of God. That's why the body exists. And that's why it's called the body, not the box, not the building. Because the building isn't growing feet and moving anytime soon. Okay? The church is responsible to dispense and display the power of God. That's what we're here for. That's why we exist. And don't get me wrong, here, this is great because this is an opportunity for you to get filled up, right? You get filled up, you get built up, you get sent out, you go do the work. That's great. But if you're getting filled up and you're not dispensing, then when you come back here, what are you getting filled up on? You're already full. What if the church decided to say, nobody's allowed in here unless you're empty. You're not allowed back until you pour out what God had given you last Sunday. Would the church be full every Sunday, or would there be crickets in here? Think about it. But this is the church of Jesus Christ. Amen? And that's who we are. Even though that's not our technical name, that's our tribe, streams. But we're part of the body. We're part of the church. Amen? Thank you, God. Ephesians. Turn with me, please. Come on. First chapter. Don't have to go far. 15 through 23. Therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. The claim to be the church of Jesus Christ is in the claim that you are part of his body. Yes? You cannot claim to be the church of Jesus Christ if you are not the body. Right? because that title comes with the position of the headship. The head is Christ. So you cannot claim that you are the church or the body of Christ if you are not submitted to the head. It's that simple. Can we agree to that? Basic concept, Church 101, real easy stuff, right? So if we can agree to that, then there are two things that are true. One, we are submitted to the head, Christ, in some things. Say it louder. Come on. Don't be the church mouse. Be the church bulldog. Just let it rip. I'm all right with it. All things, right? All things. All things. That means every area of your life, what it is, regardless. When you said on the cross, I give up my life for yours, it meant I'm submitted to your will in all things. We didn't recognize that when we made that agreement, did we? We didn't think it made all that sense, and we didn't think he was going to involve himself in every aspect of our lives. But what we do find is as days go by and we get older and more mature, we find out we need him more and we need us less. Yep. We were talking about that when you came in this morning. Two. The second thing that is true. We accomplish that which the head wants here in this physical realm because his kingdom is now. He walked, he showed us what we are to do, told them the kingdom is coming, he departed, and now the kingdom is here. And we are submitted to the will of God to go do that which he wants done, not what we want to do. And furthermore, if we look at the examples of Christ, did Christ just wait around for people to come to him? He went to them. He set the model. He set the example. He showed us how he wants things done. He wants to engage with his people. He wants to meet them where they are in their faith. Even if their faith is only but this big, he wants to find them and go, let it be unto your faith, rise and walk. Or is everything God wants to do a miracle? Is it not? If somebody who believed the smallest thing that God could do, God shows up and meets them where they are and shows up in a way that confirms what they believe, that little bit of faith in God to have happen in their life, and it happens because you, the body, showed up to dispense power to that person's faith, is that not a miracle? We have to stop thinking every miracle is somebody's limb grows back. Or if somebody gets cancer free, or that somebody gets free from whatever. Sometimes all they need is a little TLC, a little help, a little love. There are people that are waiting for you to show up and just start a conversation with them. That's it. And they've been praying that somebody would just talk to them because they need a friend. Or they need somebody to encourage them. They're going through tough times. And that little bit of faith, they've been praying, God, I just really need somebody to tell me I'm on the right path. If you don't ever show up and you don't ever open your mouth, is their faith dry? No. Their faith is still seeking God and asking for this to happen. But the longer you wait, what do you think is going to happen to their faith? Think about the things that you've been waiting for God for. It's hard to keep up with that every day, every day, every day, huh? You know what it feels like. You were there before. But to just be clear, if and when we get this revelation that God's saying about moving in God and doing the things that God wants us to do, surrendering our will, putting ourselves down, going and moving in power and allowing God to have his way and meeting people in their faith wherever they may be, guess what? Even when you show up, it's not in the name of Gary Stiles. In the name of Ed Pasternak, I know I'm looking right at you, but he's right behind you. It's not by you, right? It's in the name of? In the name of Jesus. Because Jesus is the name that they have faith and hope in. They don't even know who you are. Think about all the accounts of the moves of God that were done by these miraculous men or miraculous women, whether biblical or not. God moved on those people, and Jesus was the one who showed up and did the impossible. It wasn't because of the person. It was done because Jesus. And it was in his name, because at the end of the day, whose name is being lifted up on high? Yours or his? His. And that's for a reason. Because they don't know you. If they do, I find that to be a very big problem. Right? They're going, I need Becky. Because Becky has magic hands, and when she touches me, I feel better. I don't know what she's doing, but man, every time I see Becky and she just, one finger, everything gets better. Is that a problem? Why is that a problem? Because it isn't you, but they think it's you, so where's the problem? That means you didn't tell them, no, 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 not me, Jesus. Not me, Jesus. Acts 5. And I'm bringing this to you because this is a cool event. I don't know how familiar you guys are with Acts, how much you spend time in Acts. But Acts is a really cool opportunity for us to reflect upon what God is doing with his church when Jesus left the playing field. Now, I'm not sure about this, but I'm pretty certain he hasn't come back yet, right? We're still waiting for that aspect for him to return. But in the meantime, has he not given us something to do? Okay. The response of the church is displayed throughout Acts. If you're not sure what you should be doing, read Acts. Pretty good examples. Would you agree? Pretty good playbook. Right? And you go, well, I'm not Peter, so, you know, well, did you ask God? Maybe you are Peter. Maybe you're Paul. Anybody want to be Paul? No hands go up for that one. Gee, I wonder why. Nobody really likes Paul's journey. I love Paul's journey, actually. I love it. It's fantastic. It's great. You get an island all to yourself. Only child humor. But Acts, just a few verses here, starting at verse 12 in chapter 5. And through the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders were done among the people, and they were all with one accord, not in one accord, not the car, with one accord. So maybe the car was there. I'm not sure, but they weren't in it. It was with them. Okay. In Solomon's porch, that must have been a big porch. Fit a car, all the disciples. Just saying, you know, it's a big porch. Yet none of the rest dared join them. I'm sorry, Lord. Help me, God, help me. Yet none of the rest dared join them, but the people esteemed them highly, and the believers were increasingly added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women, so that they brought the sick out onto the streets and laid them on beds and couches. Think about that, okay? That at least the shadow of Peter passing by might fall on some of them. Also, a multitude gathered from the surrounding cities to Jerusalem, bringing sick people and those who were tormented by unclean spirits, and they were all healed. Every single one. Now, you might be like, well, wait, Pastor, you're just talking about how they need to go, right? They need to go. What you're not understanding is they were already going. Right? When you read this account, they had already started going. Okay? They already started going, but no matter where they went, the people knew that they were the close ones to Jesus, and that something supernatural happened with them, and that Jesus is still moving through them. This is all the people knew. Because they knew Jesus, right? They knew the guy they crucified. They knew the guy that they spit on. They knew that guy. And they knew he was doing all kinds of really awesome stuff before. But now that he's gone, they thought, oh man, that's going to stop. But here come these guys who get baptized in the Holy Spirit, and God just shows up big in mighty ways no matter where they go. And they're just still saying, this isn't because of us, this is because of Christ. Sometimes they were a little rude about it. They were like, because of Christ whom you crucified, right? Like, man, that's like just a little stab. Oh, yeah, we did do that, didn't we? But not in judgmental way, but just in the facts of this is true. But here yet, in spite of that, though, what you have done to the one whom we loved, he still wants to come and meet you in spite of all of that. He still wants to show up and change your life drastically. Now we're at a point where that has been going on to the point where people in their faith, and I'm bringing this to you for a reason, they believed that just him walking by at a certain time of day where his shadow, because to be clear, when they're there at Solomon's porch, they're ministering to the saints and the needs of the saints. How much do you think, let's play this game. Everybody here, hands, baptized in the Holy Spirit. You've been baptized in the Holy Spirit. All right, that means you've been anointed by the presence of God that you can actually perform these same things. Do you know that? That means you can minister the power of God to the people who have needs that perform miracle healings and all kinds of other things to those who have need. You have that power dwelling within inside of you. Do you agree? Okay, everybody here who raised their hands, let's just say the whole town of Williamstown found out that y'all can do miraculous works and heal people and heal depression, heal insomnia, heal sickness, heal cancer, heal disease, heal paralyzations, heal broken bones, heal mental disorders, heal all kinds of problems, right? How many people do you think in the town of Williamstown, just here, are going to come flying in here immediately to get it? Because you know all of them are messed up some way and some problems going on in their life, right? But you have the power to do it. And the only way they found out is because, well, Miss Daniela was at ShopRite the other day and some lady was complaining about back pain and she's like, you know, I really believe the Lord wants to heal you. Jesus, do you believe Jesus is real and that he can heal? And they go, I heard about Jesus, but I mean, I don't know. I don't know. Do you believe right now in faith that Jesus can heal you? And sure, I believe that Jesus wants to heal me. Okay, and you put your hand on your back and be like, then be healed in Jesus' name. And then boom, they're walking. They're going, oh, praise Jesus. Oh my gosh. Oh, I haven't had back pain for 20 years. And they're flipping out going crazy in ShopRite. How many people are going to hear about that? Everybody who can hear that woman's voice in proximity. And Miss Danielle is not doing it for claim or fame. She's not doing it for anything. She's doing it because she was being obedient to God. Okay. That's going to spread some circus talk, I like to call it, because they're going to start talking about it, and they're going to find out where Miss Daniela goes to church. Now they're all going to go, okay, bringing all that to clean. Everybody here, receiving this group of people coming in the doors, how many of them do you think we're going to all be able to touch and transform and change their lives in a few hours? There's only so much that one hand or one person can do. There's only so much that we can get to and talk to. Not that God doesn't want to do all of that. God's going to meet everybody, right? So how can I say that? Well, because God said here in Acts that every single one of them were healed. Multitudes from towns and towns past that where they were showed up to receive healing because they knew they were there. And every single one of them got healed. Do you think they showed up and touched every single one of them? No, they couldn't. It's impossible. The kingdom of God is physical, but it is also spiritual. The presence of just them being there and the faith that they had to believe that even the shadow of Peter falling on that sick person, they would get healed. It happened, and they did. Was it because Peter? Was it his shadow? Let's go one back. Let's go back a few books. Was Jesus' robes magical? No. Jesus wasn't magical. I'm being honest. He was God in the flesh, yes, but what he did because he saw the Father do it, and he was obedient to the will of the Father. Jesus was the embodiment example of faith being met with power. When he showed up, people's faith got met with the power of God, and God did the miraculous work. Jesus didn't do the miraculous work. God did the miraculous work through Jesus. Guess what's happening today? God wants to do the same thing. The power of God wants to move through us who are dwelling in us, Jesus Christ, to go do the impossible in people's lives where their faith is. And it's because of Jesus that it happens. God's just meeting faith with his power. That's all it is. But if the body's not there, then where's the power? If the power is with the body and the body's not present where it needs to be with faith, then guess what's never being displayed? God's power. And God wants to display his power, does he not? How else are people going to know that he is still here, he is still alive, and he is still doing the things that people believe that he does? How can the body accomplish the will of God if it's fat and lazy and eating the blessings and never moving out? Which, by the way, is pretty much what's happening. Fat, lazy church. Not anybody particularly, the church as a whole. And I want you to understand that this is not intentional. I believe that the way this occurred, or the way this happened, was just an accidental occurrence. It happens because man in of himself has this flaw. And Jesus recognized this flaw. John, right? Go ahead, pull up John. This is Jesus, and he's telling us something very specific. And when he's in Jerusalem at the Passover during the feast, many believed in his name. But when they saw the signs which he did. So this is, again, me just telling you, when Jesus was around, they knew the name of Jesus because they heard about the things Jesus had done. And so just the name of Jesus alone, in mention of conversation, masses gathered. Because they knew, ooh, I know that name, because that's not a really common name in these parts. But this name, Jesus, this name means something here. And so we're coming, because I know that guy, and I know that guy does awesome things whenever he's around. They don't really know him, but they know of him. You see the difference? But Jesus did not commit himself to them. What does that mean? Did he not show up? Did he just kind of bail on him? Like, oh, they heard about me. Yeah, no, I'm going to go over here instead. Bye, guys. See you later. No, that's not what he did. Because he knew all men, and he had no need of that. He had no need that anyone should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. The people he's talking about are the people that wanted to become these people partnering alongside of Jesus, going and doing things alongside Jesus, but not giving him the glory. This is true, and this is what happened to the church. Jesus was doing awesome things with his people. Do you know that? There are many moves in the churches, revivals, that you can account for. If you read and study and go back and do some history, you'll see there are church revivals that happened. How long ago? Do you know there's some happening now? Do you know why they're happening? Because man finally got out of the way. They stopped taking credit. They stopped worrying about people sitting in their seats, paying their bank accounts for their leisure jets. They stopped caring about what things mattered. What mattered most now was God's will. And when God's will becomes the only important thing for God's people to realize, God shows up, and guess what happens? You get a revival. Because the people of God, the body, is submitted to the head, the will of God, to be filled with power to meet those who have faith. Is their faith not there? Do they not believe God wants to do certain things? Sure, it might be menial. And sometimes you sit there and you go, You believe God wants to do what? But be it unto their faith, power of God. That's it. That's your job. That is all of our jobs. Jesus makes us aware here in the fallibility of man and that his name would go to the nations, but sadly man would slowly take its place. But again, the power of God only exists because of the will of the head. Because Jesus is the authority, right? Because we don't have the authority outside of Christ. Amen? We have zero authority. But when we say, in the name of Jesus, we now have authority. Yes? Now, is that authority still submitted to the will of God? Can I just say, in the name of Jesus, a Bentley? God gonna give me a Bentley? If it's his will, I'll have a Bentley. Right? If it's his will, I'll have a Bentley. But you wanna know something? That Bentley ain't gonna be mine for long. It's going to be somebody else's Bentley because God gave me the Bentley to give to somebody who needed a Bentley because apparently they needed a Bentley. I don't know why. But let's use this really ridiculous example to show you a little example of how God works, because it's ridiculous. Do we agree? Okay. So if I said that, but God said, guy pulls up, says, hey, by the way, yeah, I need to get rid of this car. I really felt compelled to just give it to somebody here, and it's a Bentley. And I'm going to go, wow, that's amazing. God, you are doing this for a reason. So I will be submitted and surrendered. What do you want to do with this car? Okay, I need you to get in the car. I need you to drive it down to this place, and you're going to hand the keys over to this person. Why? Just do what I ask. You don't need to know why, right? Really? I just need the address. Okay, God gives you address. You drive to this house. You get there. You knock on the door. The guy's in tears because he just had his car repossessed. And he's not going to be able to get to work tomorrow. And he doesn't have money to pay for gas and car and all that stuff. But he's got to go to work tomorrow or else he'll lose the job. And if he loses the job, he's going to lose his kids. And if he loses his kids, he's going to commit suicide. And he's been praying and praying and praying, God, I need your help. I need your help. I need your help. God apparently wanted to give you a Bentley. What you do with it is up to you, but God wants to bless you, and he's hearing what you're saying, and he wants to give you this Bentley so that you can get yourself to work and get yourself right where you need to be. What's going to happen to that person's life? It's going to change. It's going to change. Especially if they're literally praying, God, I don't know what to do. I need to get to work. I need a car. And knock, knock, knock. Guy with not just a car. Not just, oh, any car. I didn't show up with like four bikes tied together and a lawnmower motor on it and said, here's your car. I didn't give you junk. I gave you the best. God can do anything he wants. Amen? As ridiculous as that example is, if you don't listen and hear what God's saying, not only will you not call forth things from heaven to be obtained so that you can give them away. We've heard that one before 1,000 times. That message has been preached over and over again. But you're not going to listen to where it goes. You're not going to meet the faith with the power. You're going to think that's your Bentley. So power only comes in the name of Jesus. Acts 3. Didn't have to go far. And I'm taking us home. Don't worry. Acts 3, 6 through 8 and 16. So it's just a little bit. We're back. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand, lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. Awesome. Miracle. Amen? Dude was asking for money. Was that what Jesus wanted to give him? Nope. Power of Jesus was to heal the man's legs so he could walk and he could do the things that could give him the money he needed. Right? Though that person was praying, in their heart, in their mind, they wanted money. But in their heart, they really wanted to be healed. Even in their faith, the people who you will meet, their faith may even be misguided because their head faith will say they need this. But their heart faith is what the power of God is going to respond to. And you have to know and hear what God is saying. That's why the response of the body is the submission to the head. You need to hear what the head is telling you, so that you can administer the power of God properly. This is why this is important, because this is a great example of it on display. But verse 16, "And his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know." Yes, the faith which comes through him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Faith in Jesus is what meets them. They have faith to believe in the name of Jesus. They have faith to believe that Jesus wants to do great things. So then we show up and we hear what God is saying. We hear what the head is saying, and we meet them with what God wants to give them. And whatever that power looks like, it's not because of what I have done. It is not because of what we have done. It is because of what he has done. Yes? This is easy, right? Not a hard lesson. But think about this. Peter and John just get baptized in the Holy Spirit. That is a new experience for them. Okay? Immediately, the critics go, "Look at them, they're drunk. They're crazy. They're talking all kinds of languages." And some people are like, "Yeah, but I understand what they're saying. Can't explain that one. They're still drunk." It's really easy to just say they're drunk. I mean, you could say that about anybody who's been slain in the spirit. "Look at that guy, he's drunk." Yeah, he's passed out drunk. On God. Praise God. You know, we get excited about that. But they're being judged by it. But immediately after that, power starts to move through them. Immediately. Right? Not just the speaking in tongues. Not just that stuff. But power. They started being used by God to move in power immediately. Immediately. What does that tell me? Well, it tells me one thing. One, Holy Spirit is our open channel. Without him, guess what you're doing? You're playing church. Seriously. You're playing church. You're part of the body, but you're not connected to anything. You're just an eyeball on the table. You're just sitting there. You're not connected. How do you get connected? Holy Spirit. Step one. The next part was they were obedient. They heard what God was saying and they did what God said to do. as ridiculous as some things might have been, some of them going, hey, by the way, you're going to go over there. Okay. And you're going to go meet this person. Okay. We're going to go over there and meet this person. Cool. And then this chick shows up and she's all sorts of creepy and weird, but you say some things to her and stuff happens and God moves and all of a sudden you go to jail. Whoops. What'd I do, Lord? No, you're good. You're where you need to be. In jail? Yep. Okay. What am I doing here? Don't worry. Okay. What's going to happen next? What happens next, church? All they were doing is going, God is great. God is great. He put me in jail, so God is great. And they're like, these guys are crazy. But they don't stop praising God. And I just feel inclined that I need to just get my life right. And the prison guard gets saved. His whole family gets saved. And everybody in the prison goes... It's not your will. It's not what you get to choose. It's what God wants to do. Everybody's like, oh, I'll go to prison for Jesus. Well, maybe that's not what he wants you to do. Stop putting yourself into that ministry. That's not what God said. Do what God said. If God wants you in a prison ministry, you're going to get there because of God, not because you broke the law. You go, oh, I'm going to go start a prison ministry. Take some watches for the, you know, just to get in. I just need to get in. You know, entry. Cause a break in and entering. Like, what did you break and enter in? I broke into a Chick-fil-A on Sunday. I didn't steal anything. I love this one. I paid for it. I'm going to jail for trespassing, but I'm going to start a prison ministry. Why are you here? Well, I broke into a Chick-fil-A on Sunday. Oh, that's a good one. But not only is it their obedience, but it's their submission. Because there's a difference. Obedience is when God says, I need you to go do this, right? You go do it. Obedience is, yes, Lord. Right? That's it. Obedience is, yes, Lord. Submission is, but let me do this first. You see the difference? Because we can say, yes, Lord, all day long, but we usually say, yes, Lord, let me just go take care of my family first. Let me go take care of this thing I need to take care of first. Well, we have a nice biblical example about that too, right? Let the dead bury the dead. Submission is not my will, your will. Putting that down. Putting down the things that interfere or get in the way of you not just saying yes, Lord, but doing yes, Lord. That's submission. Oh yeah, I didn't say it was easy. And I want to just highlight, the move of power was through them, in Christ, by the faith of those who believed in the power of God. I'm going to say that again, because it's hard to comprehend. The move of power was through them, the disciples, in Christ, by the faith of those who believed in God. It's a full circle. The second you take yourself out of the circle, what happens? You broke the cycle. This is why we're important. This is why we're still here. This is why God, and I hate saying this word, needs us. Because he's not like, he needs you individually. Because if you don't do it, guess what he'll do? Okay, I'll find somebody else who will. But you are going to have consequences for that action. Not you individually. Understood. Do you get what I'm saying? But us as the body, remove ourselves from that spot. Where's the power of God going? Is the faith of the people out there diminished? Do people still cry out? People that don't even know or believe in God still call out to God. You know that? Atheists. Like, last time I checked, you don't believe in God. Yeah, I know. But I really need, if he does exist, I really need his help. Wow, you even gender identified him too. That's brazen. You see what I mean? But they'll cry out. But if that little bit of faith doesn't ever get met with the power of God because we're absent, what happens? You're living in what happens. The final question that I have for you today, and I leave you with this question, is all of this stems from one point, and I started today with the beginning, leading off from last week, and I leave you with this question then. What spurs people's faith in Jesus Christ? It's real simple. Jesus is contagious. I gave you examples. I showed you. Once his name was mentioned, people were racing to find him from all over. The problem is that the body of Christ doesn't like to identify with him anymore. They don't want to acknowledge that Jesus is Lord. They don't want to acknowledge that Jesus is doing this in their life. And by acknowledge, I don't mean that you have it here or that you have it here. It's that you have it here. Last time I checked, faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. It's not thinking the word of God or feeling the word of God in your heart. It's the audible announcement of what God has done in your life and letting people know Jesus is Lord and Jesus reigns and Jesus is real. And because I can tell you, because Jesus has done, fill in the blank. If we're not talking about him, the faith in Jesus is going to dry up. And you're going to have a world that won't even know his name. You might be like, whoa, wait. Are you saying that the churches are all going to dry up and go away? No. The churches will still be their own little silos. Sure. But the world won't know who he is. Generations will pass and they will slowly forget who this guy is and how important he is. Not just historically, but in all creation. If we don't talk about him, where's their faith going to come? It's going to go into themselves. And look around. And how much of that you got now? Of people who proclaim in their own deity, in their own gospel, in their own self-worth, in their own belief. I make my own faith. How do we fix it? Well, we got the tools, right? Is God doing something in your life? Has God been doing awesome things? Do you have lips? Do you have a tongue? Do you have vocal cords? Do you have breath in your lungs? Then you can talk. Praise God. You can sing his praises. You can tell the world what's going on. Tell them who Jesus is and what he's doing. So you may not always have to tell people who Jesus is. Sometimes you just got to tell him what he's done. What is he doing? That spurs their faith. Then we have to be obedient and submitted to the head as the body should be. We don't have to pray for power. We don't have to pray for God to show up. We don't have to pray for these things. You don't have to do that. You already are. You have power. You are plugged in. As long as you're submitted and obedient to the will of God, you're good. Channel's open. If you have the Holy Spirit moving, he's telling you what to do. Praise God. Then you just need to go and do it. What he's telling you to do. This is what it means to be the church of Jesus Christ. We can't claim it if we're not doing it. Amen? We can't. I don't want to hear us claiming it anymore. Unless we're doing it. So if we're going to be the body. Like, how many people love that song? Was it Casting Crowns? We are the body. We are the body. I don't want to sing that song until I know it's true. Until I know we are going and doing the things God has told us to do. And power is moving and meeting faith where it needs to be met. Amen? It's our job. It's what we're here to do. It's what you got saved to do. It's what you got baptized in the Holy Spirit to do. It's what you were created for. Thank you. I'll give you the pulpit next time you want to preach. Do you agree? All right. If you agree, rise with me. Father, we want to be submitted and surrendered to your will. We don't want to just make that declaration here in our minds, God. We don't want to just say it in our hearts, God. We want to announce it with our mouth, God. We want to bolster that faith that you give us, God, to move out in faith and believe that you have called us out, God. Your church, the ecclesia, you've called us out. You've said that we are to go. You've sent us. So God, as you have poured out abundantly in our life, God, as you have filled us, God, as you have given us command to go, Lord, we want to be submitted and surrendered to your will. We want to say yes, Lord, and we want to move and believe that you want to use us to do the impossible. God, have your way with us. Have your way with us as we obey and surrender our wills to yours, God. Have your way with us so that we can go and dispense that which you give us to meet those who have faith to believe that you, God, are real and that you matter to them. That's what you have us here for, God. And we agree with you. We agree with your plan, God. We agree with your purpose in our lives, God. And we agree, God, that we will not be silent, but we will tell everyone that we come in contact with how great, how mighty you are, and how awesome the name of Jesus is, and how the name of Jesus has done great things. By your name, God, we proclaim it, and Lord, we move in it. We want to be that church, God, that faithful church that goes and does the will of the Father. So Lord, continue to show us, continue to lead us, continue to show us what it is you want to do, continue to direct our steps, God, continue to purpose our days and purpose our lives around you. As we surrender it to you, God, we give you glory, we give you honor, we give you praise. Move in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen, amen.